You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
Hi, welcome to the latest episode of Scottish Football Forums podcast. We're at season 13, episode 5. We have a treat in store tonight. We've got four regulars and two guests. So we have myself, John, first of all, and Erin, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
See you again.
It's nice to be back.
And for his first appearance of the season, Scott, Jay,
how are you doing? It's first of the season, so first of many, hopefully.
Yes, definitely. And we've had a new regular. He has been on before a couple of times. Hopefully it's a happier occasion than last time he was on. Robbie, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. Thanks, John, for getting me on as a regular. Looking forward to this being a recurring thing.
All right, we'll see how you do. Aye. Oh, we know what you're like. We're not kidding. And then returning guest, who's been on a few times now, he's probably more of a regular than Scott, actually. Graham, how are you doing?
I'm good, mate. I'm disappointed there's more Hibs fans on me tonight so we can wind each other up, but that's the way it goes.
This is the recurring theme. We did think about getting Harry on, I think, last week. And then this week, but I don't know if he would come on when they've been...
Harry just conveniently very busy, is he? Interesting.
I don't know. but we'll see what happens. And then we've got a debutant on the podcast. We're pleased to be joined by Jenna, Motherwell fan. How are you doing?
Not bad, yourself?
Aye, good. All good for a Monday night. So, a few things to discuss tonight. European football and how the Scottish teams are getting on and what they might do in the second leg. Some of the weekend action in the Premiership. We might touch on the League Cup coming up if we can be bothered. And then, the new feature, the headline of the week, which Danny came up with a belter last week. So we'll see how yous do, but we'll you can do it at any point. So if it comes in your head as we're talking, just get it in. Or if you've got one already, you can put it in. I'm expecting good things from Robbie and Jenna, especially.
The pressure's on.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
right,
let's go. Can I start that season off with a wee bit of a rant?
Aye, why not?
Right. See, and I don't know if this got covered last week. I've been absolutely everywhere and anywhere, so I've not had a chance to listen. But see if anybody's got a problem with Erin specifically being on this podcast. Can they just turn off now? Because I know for a few weeks that she suffered ridiculous abuse because she was passionate, because she wants to see her team doing well and she's positive about it. And it's 100% misogyny. It's 100% disgusting. And I want to start the season off by telling everybody they can basically fuck off if they're going to be like that. So I know probably not our listeners, but just in case there's any out there, you know.
Someone said that they would rather die than listen to their podcast again, which I thought was awfully dramatic.
And it's amazing because it's free content and they're moaning about free content. Whatever.
I'm not going to their house and doing this, like in their garden and making them listen to it.
So it's for, you know, that goes for any female that has to work in the media. You know, I know Alison Walker, who was one of the first female journalists to cover Scottish football, if not the first. So this has gone on for decades. So let's just cock on it now and just go, right, everybody, it's 2023, let's act like it.
Well said, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Right, where are we going to start? Europe. Rangers.
Well, yeah, I can have a rest here because we're not in Europe yet. We've got ages.
Aye, you can have a wee rest. Chill out. Have a wee Prosecco, whatever you want to do on a Monday night.
Not on a Monday. It's weird, though, isn't it? Have you found it odd?
Like you're having a rest in the league as well, you know? You've not started yet.
We're having a war. We're easing in.
Giving everyone else a chance.
See, I'm not buying the fact that no one on Monday, because I think you've been at the fringe every day last week.
No, Wednesday, Thursday, and then yesterday. I'm not going again until Sunday. I'm supporting artists, struggling, up-and-coming artists.
Well,
and some of the big names.
But it's quite nice, actually, to be fair, not having Europe until later. I don't mind. But it is, and also it's nice because I feel like I've got more time to watch what other clubs are doing in Europe.
Yes. Did you watch the Rangers game then?
I, not live, but I did watch it. Yeah. And they are tomorrow, aren't they? Yes, I'll watch that.
Yeah, so we're recording this on Monday. So yeah, they do play the second leg on Tuesday. I think we'll come to you, Scott, because we were on the WhatsApp during the game. We were chatting about the game, and you were having a wee bit of a rant, actually. No, like you.
No, it was just the watching that game just made my brain hurt. And it's not because of any allegiances towards Rangers. It's like three, it was like three number nines trying to squeeze into the top end of the separate penalty area. It was the substitutions, so much that was going on, and I just didn't understand any of it. It could have been any team that I was watching, and I just would be like, I don't know what the style is. I'm not entirely sure what the formation is. I don't know, again, the substitutions or where everybody's meant to be playing. It was a strange one. Now, listen, they got the result. It should have been better. They shouldn't have conceded that penalty. Dessers was ridiculous, handball. But it's I tell you what, from probably the first half of the Livingston game, the full Kilmarnock game, and most of the European game, if a team organises their defence well, Rangers struggle. And that's, maybe it's just they've got a full team to kind of knit together. I know Josh was banging on about that and stuff like that recently. Of course, it will take a bit of time. I was just honest to God, scratch my brain and try to understand what Beale was trying to do.
We definitely touched on it a wee bit last week about the three striker situation and what they're going to do with it. I did see some talk in the media today that they're possibly after a wide player, but I don't know. I think Seymour's considered to be a kind of wide player, but Josh in particular, I wasn't quite sure of him so far in the early appearances. But yeah, I would agree in terms of, like, if thankfully I'm not a Rangers fan, but the whole three centre forwards, I don't really get
I think
what they're trying to do.
Lammers can play as a 10, but they're not asking him to play as a 10. They're asking him to play out wide. And yeah, as I say, it's just a bit confusing. And maybe Beale's got this super philosophy that's going to turn out amazing for them. It's just, Postecoglou took a bit of time when he came in at Celtic, and then everybody could understand what was happening. But I just, honest. I've never seen a game of football like it where I've not really understood what was happening.
Did any of the rest of you see the game? Graham, Robbie.
Yeah, I was covering it for work, and it was one of these weird games when, like, Rangers has been such a turnover of the squad over the summer. You've maybe got to give them that bit of leeway. The fans won't, because Rangers is such a big institution, expected to win every game. But I do agree. I thought Sam Lammers seems an intelligent player, and if they use him right, I think he will hit the ground running. But he did just seem to lack that cohesion, and I think that'll maybe come with time. Obviously, since that game, Dessers has got off the mark from that game, and then four of them got off the mark on Saturday. So that maybe just will help them. Because you look at it, going to a new club, expectation of Ibrox, Inzivet, and no mugs either. So even, what was it, half an hour they played against 10 men, you'd have thought they would capitalise a bit more on that. But you've got to fancy them even to go over to Switzerland and hold that lead and progress to the next round. And Michael Beale, much like Ange Postecoglou, it'll take time for what he wants to do, his own men, his own philosophy to come to fruition. So I wouldn't be panicking too much if I was a Rangers fan, but I would be thinking maybe a few new signings, because I know Kamara and Wright was supposed to be leaving, but now he came off the bench in that game, so I'm not sure about his future. But it is meant to be a bit more of a turnover happening before the window shuts. So it'll be interesting to see, as you say, if they do sign a wide player, or with the formation currently with like three strikers, how they rotate them, because Islamis, Dezers, Danilo and Seema all vying for that slot. And then where does Kima Roof sit in that pecking order as well? So
the treatment table.
Certainly one
treatment
to watch
table, yeah. Himself. Treatment table.
Yeah.
I had to laugh. I read the next day, it was Barry Ferguson talking about the game, and he's talking about Dessers, and he said, oh, he controlled the ball and then he passed the ball back. And the Rangers fans were on top of them. The Rangers fans aren't used to that. And I mean, like, Barry, that's what you did most weeks. Rangers fans are used to keeping the ball and playing the ball back. I couldn't believe out of all the things that was his issue, was Dessers passing the ball back, when that was Barry Ferguson's kind of modus operandi, especially towards the end of his career. I think there's the good chance that they'll go through. It's just, it's going to take a bit of time, I think, for Michael Beale to get this team kind of fully up and running. I know it sounds strange because they beat a team 4-0 in the weekend, but even then, I don't think that was fully coherent.
I don't think they looked good against Kilmarnock. I don't think they looked great last week. Saturday, better obviously for them, but it's still not brilliant. I think it looks a little bit, like you say, I feel like they've bought players, but it's maybe just not quite, I mean, that's probably surely not going to be their final team. Just all looked a little bit scrappy. But, I mean, I'm not sure Michael Beale will last the season, if I'm honest, because I'm not convinced on him. And I think their fans will get impatient quickly because they have expectations. And I think, losing your opening game. I saw a stat, they've not lost their opening game in ages. I'm not sure that they'll get through that tie this week. Got penalty awarded against them as well. Ibrox, very controversial. I did see some boy said on Twitter that it's the first penalty Ibrox since Boxing Day in 1998, and loads of people were falling for it and going mad. I don't think they look brilliant.
The last time they lost was that not to Hearts in Dick Advocaat's first game, so that season turned itself around. So it's, you know, if you're going to go back and look at certain kind of
things. Like lose your opening game and then do well. But like if it rains on your wedding day, it's a good sign or something like that.
It just shows that it can change, but it will need to change fairly drastically, I think, in the next month or so. Because they've lost Kilmarnock. They can't afford to really give ground on, and there's too much ground to Celtic. So it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out. And I think they can go through that tie, it's definitely not nailed on, and it wouldn't be the biggest shock if they get put out.
I mean, what Wiggles don't count anymore, do they? But 2-1, it takes an extra time. You just don't know. How does it work? Europe just baffles me every year because they change it all the time. They've changed it again for like two seasons time. Is it they lose this and then they go into the Europa League?
Europa League last qualifying round.
Oh, do they work straight in the groups? Oh.
Is it?
I think they maybe would go straight in, because I know Aberdeen we are guaranteed. If we fail to win our playoff, we go into the Conference League. So I'd assume Rangers would be the same, but they've come in at a level before Aberdeen would, like the third qualifying round, have they? So
I feel like, yeah, I think I there's one more round. If they lose this, they go into the Europa groups.
No, I think they've got what? So there's one more round of qualifying, so I think they go into the next group of qualified.
Right. It is confusing, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure they change all the time.
Cheers, Erin. You've made us look like a right bunch of fools because we're all going, right, what is it? Like,
I'm going to message Scottish Craig right now experts. And then we'll just cut this bit out and then it'll be fine.
Aye, we'll just take it out. The interesting scenario would be if they do get through, they would have a repeat of their, well, it looks very much like they would have a repeat of their tie last year against PSV. And even more so, Malik Tillman is now on loan at PSV. So that would make it interesting.
Come back to haunt them. That'd be written in the stars.
If we want to find out, did Rangers get paid money because the obligation, they had an obligation to buy, didn't they? But then Bayern Munich pulled out of it or something like that. So they're not going to pay them money.
I think there's
Yeah, it
something to
looks.
do with the amount it had to be, and then there seemed to be a little switcheroony going on, and someone was getting some money somewhere, and I don't know. I think they might have got done out of £1 million. I didn't understand that either, but that was
Yeah,
also
I think
bizarre.
Rangers have a 10% claim on any future fee because there's some loophole in the original contract to Dealey went on loan to. But as you say, so much versions of things, especially the days of social media, you never know what to believe.
This is it. Like the Europe thing, obviously, is just a fact, and you could probably go and figure it out, but it is very confusing. But stuff like this, so many people are like, oh, I actually heard this, or my granny's actually his next door neighbour, and then her friend's dog walker told his mum that you see all of this all the time. So I don't know. Very confusing.
Scott, you had another rant as well when we were talking a wee bit about the recruitment side of things. Are you going to go into that in a bit more detail?
I
Or was it
forgot
just the
man.
fact?
I forgot I had another rant. That's a very
It's a
rant
Scott's
to have,
rant
but there
special. I'm
was.
enjoying this.
It was probably in the same
Which
kind of
one?
ballpark, but recruitment, was it just the fact that they've kind of not recruited any wide players, or was it more to it in terms of how they've recruited, like where they've
Yeah.
looked at, the markets they've looked at?
Listen, it's not just Rangers and it's not just Michael Beale, but there does seem to be a kind of thing with modern day football managers and coaches. It's plan A and plan A only. And I've never quite understood why you wouldn't have, try and change things up. Because if plan A doesn't work, and it kind of, I remember it probably most of all with Mark Warburton recently. And if plan A doesn't work, then go to plan. It's a bit like Brendan Rodgers in Europe, it's Celtic. It's like, well, do something differently, be a bit more defensive, or in Rangers' case, have a couple of wide players that you can then bring into your team. Even if it's just youngsters, bleeding in youngsters, you've got these players that you can then use, because some teams, if they know what you're going to do, like Kilmarnock seem to work out very quickly, then you change it around and you go, right, okay, let's look at this, let's bring on this player now. And I just don't. It's like that game against Switzerland was calling out for Hadji to come on, and he brought on Soufiéz, who's more of a kind of defensive kind of minded player. Hadji could unlock a defence.
I think maybe
That
the Hadji thing's question marks over his fitness still, and that's why he's not getting involved. As a, he's obviously on the bench, so
if he's on the bench, then he could play the last 15 minutes. That's always been my kind of rule of thumb. I said that. I've got no business talk about the just transfer, but market unless until the end of the season, you find out whether it's worked or it's not. But yeah, I do find it strange that, and he has pointed out that they haven't replaced Kent. It's something that they probably have to do. Seamus could play out wide, but is he good enough? I think he probably is, Jimmy. I don't think Brighton buy a player these days if he's not they're not up to scratch. It's just, yeah, it's a bit baffling.
think if they replace Kent, I'll like the player as much. Like, you know how much I like Ryan Kent.
Oh, you loved Ryan Kent, didn't you? You thought he was the best player in the Scottish Premiership.
I think it was most overrated, but I same thing.
Thirty
Jenna,
million.
I don't know what you think about Rangers and how they got on at the last midweek and whether they might get through.
I'm in two minds about it. I'm quite like Ern. I'm not fully convinced of Michael Beale. I wanted to give him a fresh start. A lot of people claimed he was the mastermind behind Gerrard's performances at Rangers. He was the man that supposedly know that pulled that off. But to be honest, I'm dreading it for them. They did do well against Livingston. However, dropping points at Kilmarnock, that was a big shock for me. I don't know about the rest of you, if you felt as if that came out of the blue, if you want to pardon the pun. But I want to say they'll do well, because I know they're going into it quite confident. They did well during the midweek game. I mean, the performance wasn't great, but they did walk away winners, so you have to sometimes just take a win as a win. You have to look at it that way sometimes, just for morale reasons more than anything else. Yeah, 4-0 against Livingston. It sounds great on paper, but I think if they do go through, I think it'll be in the very death of the game. I can see it being extra time, last minute winner, or even a last minute draw, and then make it even more interesting.
Graham, what about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think against Kilmarnock and Servette, I think they were very just disjointed, which is understandable. When you send that many players and trying to fit them into a system, it can be very difficult. you know, I think against Kilmarnock, they didn't really do enough going forward. Against Servette, they've won the game, but it'll be a difficult test over there. Only one goal in it is going to be difficult. I think Rangers can score, but it's whether they can not concede. And even on Saturday against Livingston, for a long period in that game, they dominated, but they never really looked like they were going to get that second goal. And I still think, for me, Rangers' best player just now is Pod Cantwell. He just brings so much to that team. Creativity, energy. And it was only when they brought Ravi Matondo on that they looked a bit better, and he made a massive difference. I think Rangers probably will go through, but it'll be difficult. But, you know, I think when you sign that many players, it's difficult to fit them all in. And I think it will take time, but we all know that at Celtic and Rangers, you don't get that time. You know, you can't afford to be second in the league when you're Rangers or Celtic. So it'll be difficult, but I do think they'll get through tomorrow. It'll be tough.
Okay, so you ain't going to get through. Scott, you ain't going to get through.
Yeah, I think they'll sneak it. But as I say, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't, but I think they'll make sneak it.
Okay. Robbie?
Yeah, I think they'll just have enough to get through and hold up that lead.
Okay. And Erin and Jenna, are you sitting on the fence about what's happening, or what we're saying?
I think they'll go through, but I think it'll be in the death of the game. They'll sneak it through, maybe around about the 80th minute mark, may get a goal, end at 3-1. Well, including aggregate, obviously.
Right, okay. And Erin, what are you saying? Are you going with the rest of them, or are you going against the grain?
Is it what do I want, or what do I think?
What do you think?
I think they won't go through.
They won't go through. I think that would be the same as what you want, to be honest. I don't think it would have been any different.
We'll never know, because that wasn't the question. I do have some news just in. I was right. Someone mark this down. I was right. If Rangers lose this, they go straight into the Europa League group stages.
Oh,
if they win this, they then have to play PSV to get into the Champions League group stages.
Oh, dear. We've had a nightmare there, so then.
Yeah.
Good that you've Googled it, though. You could have done it a bit quicker and not made us look so foolish, but that's all right.
Well, but I just don't think it's made, like...
So do we just go on the basis that Chris definitely knows? Is that because I've just seen the group chat that Erin's got her information from?
As I said this time, so... I mean, I thought I was right anyway. And he said, I'm right, so that's fine. He said it's a weird setup. It is. I think it's because it does change quite a lot because of the coefficient and how many teams are going in and where. And the Conference League is muddled all up as well. So, yes, they go straight, because that would be right, because if they lose this, it feels like they would then be at the same level as Aberdeen and they should be higher up. So they go straight in the Europa League groups if they lose this. If they win this, they've got to do another round to get into the Champions League groups. It's quite hard. I saw, was it 24-25? The winner, second place goes straight into... It's better, isn't it? Because the coefficient's gone up, basically.
And it's all changing as well, the whole Champions League sphere, in terms of one big league. I think they play like eight games.
Oh, yeah, they're changing the whole competition, aren't they?
Yeah.
Going to be tough for St Mirren next season, isn't it? In the Champions League. Right, okay, we'll move on to Hearts. It wasn't on live TV, so I don't imagine many of us will have seen much of it, but I do know that it was getting streamed by Hearts TV. Graham, I believe you did see it going by your Twitter comments. First half, you were not at all happy. But a wee change, wee late goal, leaves the tie finally balanced.
It does. I mean, my worry going at this game is always the fact that Rosenberg are halfway through their season. And this was only our second competitive game, but I thought we were dreadful first half. I thought we made Rosenberg look a lot better than they are. They've got a couple of decent players, the laddie Nelson on the left and the young midfielder at 16-year-old. But we just didn't do enough. We didn't compete enough. We were slow, but same as yesterday, to be honest. And the goals were also really poor as well. I mean, the poor decision for me was starting Ben Beningame in the first place. He clearly wasn't fit, should never have started. When he went off at half-time and brought Haring on, we looked a lot more compact and a bit better defensively. And he actually stifled the wee 16-year-old that was dominating the game at that point. He did really well. Started to make subs and we started to do a bit better. We started to create a bit better chances. Shanklin probably should score with a header he has. And then he gets the goal and it brings the tight right back into it. My worry going 2-0 down was, if we lose a third goal, which was likely, this tie could be over. I wanted the tie to still be... I wanted us to be in the tie going back to Tynecastle. And we are. And I've said this already on another thing I did earlier on. I'll be disappointed if Hearts don't get through because I don't think Rosenborg are a great side. They've not had a great season so far. They were very lucky to get past Crusaders. And I think had Crusaders not had the man sent off, they might have gone through. If we don't get through, I'll be disappointed. But we've got to raise a level because yesterday was really poor. The first half against St Johnstone was poor. The first half against Rosenborg was poor. I'm hoping for better. But we are still on the tie. But if we don't get through, I'll be really disappointed because they're not a good side.
Right, here's another one because I've seen you ask the question on Twitter and you've probably got the answer now. And I think I know the answer. Vargas and Tagua, in terms of being able to play, I take it they can't because they weren't registered and take for the first match.
They can play this one. I did ask the question. I have had it confirmed that they can play.
Okay, so that's a positive then. Give you more options.
Yeah, we lacked pace last week. I mean, the fact we're starting, and a lot of folk give this guy a lot of stick. I don't agree with a lot of it. You know, I don't think Alan Forrest should have started last week up front, but we decided to try and go with a bit of pace, which we didn't have. But Tagawa and Vargas do have that. And from what I saw of Vargas when he came on yesterday, he looks a very good player, really, really good player. I think Tagawa will be good when he gets up to full speed. He makes a lot of good runs. Didn't really get a lot of the ball yesterday, but he does make a lot of good runs. He did the same against St Johnstone last week. So that will help. And for me, I'm starting both of them on Thursday. I think we need that bit of pace up front. I thought yesterday, Lowry was really poor. I thought he did well off the bench against St Johnstone, but yesterday he was well off the pace, got caught ball watching numerous times, gave it away too many times. I wouldn't start him. I know that Barry Mackay is meant to be back on Thursday. I don't think he'll start because he's been out for a long time. But I'm more optimistic having got that goal than I would have been had we gone out this game 2 or 3 nil down. We've got a chance, but we've got to start the game a lot better than we have done the last 3 games.
Graham, you were saying there that you'd start this guy and you'd start that guy. But who really is picking this team? Because that's the kind of cohesion that I've not seen. You know, when I saw the interview with Sky Sports before the season started, and if it is one person, then the one person should do the interview with Sky and not two people and one going, well, actually, it's all down to me. And I went, well, that's who I want to hear from them. I don't care about Naismith if that's the case. It just seems very confusing.
It's Frankie Naismith, isn't it? Frankie Naismith's picking the team.
Ah, it's all for US. Well, I'm going to call him Frankie Naismith. No, I mean, I listened to a Hearts podcast last week and Craig Gordon was on it. And Gordon said that they were in no doubt who was picking the team and who was in charge. We have to do it the UEFA way. We've got to get around it that way. So McAvoy's doing the European games and Naismith's basically doing the other games. And I noticed it yesterday because I was watching the touchline yesterday and Naismith was going mental at how slow Hearts were passing the ball, along with many other Hearts fans who were furious as well. But, you know, the players are in no doubt who's in charge. They know exactly who's in charge of that team. I just think on Thursday, we need to start with a faster tempo because the last couple of games, we've been so slow. And I know where Naismith was coming from. He talked yesterday about the fact that we travelled back on after the game on Thursday. Didn't have a lot of time to prepare for yesterday. But I'll be honest, I expected better home to come on it. It was just so slow. There was no pace. There was no tempo. It was passing possession for possession's sake. I actually think at one point during that game, Xander Clark had more touches than Lauren Shankland. We were just passable for passing sake. We need to be better on Thursday. And I said that on Twitter yesterday. I said, if we play like that on Thursday, we'll not go through. I'm hoping for better, but it's got to be better than we played the last couple of games because it's been poor.
To be fair, I think you probably got a bad round of fixtures for straight after Europe to get Kobaldock, who've just beaten Rangers. McInnes knows how to set a team out. I think that was probably one of the games that you probably would not have wanted. You would have maybe wanted, let's face it, St Johnstone or somebody else. But yeah, I like the fact that Hearts are still in it. You know, too many times in the past, teams have been out by the first leg, essentially. And that it's good to see Graham actually excited about Thursday night and hoping that they can turn it around and actually have some belief that they can turn it around, which is great.
I know that obviously John and Erin and Robbie, they're going to get excited soon, but I love European football. There's just something different. There's a different feel about it, especially a home European game. We had it last season playing against like Bastia here, Fiorentina, and IFS. There's a completely different atmosphere in a European game than there is to a normal league game. And that's why I love them. You know, I went to Tynecastle in 1989 to watch Hearts beat Bayern Munich at Tynecastle, and it was just one of the best nights I've seen for a long time. We've had more of those against like Slavia Prague and stuff, but I just love European nights. Under the lights at Tynecastle on 30, the crowd will be buzzing, but the players have got to give the crowd something to lift them, because yesterday it was just, everything was really flat. I felt sorry for the Gorgie Ultras. We've got a new kind of singing bit in the Gorgie stand, and they tried to create an atmosphere, but it just didn't work because it was just so flat around the stadium on the pitch. We need to be, I think it'll be different on Thursday. The atmosphere will be completely different. And I'm just hoping that if we get an early goal, I think we'll go win the game by 2 or 3, because I'm going to regret this now. But I genuinely don't think Rosenberg are a great side. I really don't.
That's what we like. Stick your neck out. Be positive about your team. Go for it. Can you answer us the question, though, that was asked on Sports Scene last night? What was Hart's shot on target in the game yesterday? Because Michael Stewart couldn't answer it, and they never showed any shots on target.
I genuinely don't know. The only shot I can remember was Peter Haring's shot that went wide. I mean, whether they think the keeper got a touch on that as a shot on target, I don't know. But I don't recall seeing any shots on target, to be honest.
The only way that would have been a keeper getting on it would have been if Inspector Gadget was playing goals. And the younger listeners will be going, who is Inspector Gadget? Robbie, do you know who Inspector Gadget is?
I've heard of it, but I couldn't tell you anything about Inspector Gadget, unfortunately.
Jenna?
I've heard of the cartoon. I'm pretty sure I've watched it as a kid. But, and I think I'm even younger than Robbie, which is bad for him.
Do you know I was going to say as well, do you know the one thing about these European games as well that I've thought for a while now? I think in terms of Scottish teams, not for Celtic and Rangers, because they're getting good for this football, and Aberdeen are as well. But I genuinely do believe that us being in European football so early doesn't help, because most of the teams we're playing against have started their season. So it's very difficult for, I know we should be beating some of these teams. Like, I know that Motherwell got beat by our Irish team last season, but they'd started the season already. I genuinely don't think it helps us that we start our season late on and we don't have enough time to prepare for these games. I just, for me, it's a frustration that I've got.
I noticed someone asked me if I used Patrick Gadget. Am I not included in the young?
Not anymore. You're far too young. Sorry.
All right. No. Well, okay, that's fine.
Not that we've got the development squad in tonight. You're now probably considered a podcast veteran. A few
right.
seasons under your belt. So.
Oh, am I getting a testimonial then?
Yeah, wait a few years for that, to be fair.
Can I be a killjoy on Hearts for a second?
Robbie!
I'm not a killjoy because I get fed up of these teams letting Scotland down and getting beat in the first round. So I'm an advocate that I want Scottish teams to do well in Europe. But looking at like games saying that I think Rosenberg are a good team, seems going by the last 5 games, 12 goals in 5 games. Yeah, Hearts are at home, but I think it will be a high-scoring game again. Maybe they're just saving the goals from that Kilmarnock game for maybe a 2-2 or something on Thursday night. And I hope they do go through, but I just wouldn't underestimate any European opposition. I think couldn't be naive, considering we've all seen it. Loads of different teams, even Dundee United, going in, getting framed things up in the club shop to then lose by a record scoreline. Just never want to get too carried away. But hopefully Hearts can do it. And watched a bit of the game yesterday as well, Graham, and do agree, I wrote this in my notes, there's a lot of tippy-tappy football, like in the midfield at the edge of the box, but there wasn't that smart runs to kind of capitalise or the ball at the top or a variation. So don't know if it's a case of tiredness or if Naismith's like regime is still got to get going in a sense, because with the players Hearts have on paper, I thought they would be creating more chances, especially against Kilmarnock.
Yeah, I mean, I think again, it's a bit like the Rangers scenario. I think when you've got new players, they need to take time to gel. A lot, listen, I know as a Hearts fan that we get frustrated a lot of times, so they might not get that much time. But I think when it does click, we do have good players in that squad. I like the players we've signed. I'm a massive fan of Frankie Kent, the defender we're signing from Peterborough. He's been excellent so far. Makes a massive difference having someone that actually head the ball away, because we lacked that last season. But I do want to ask you guys a question as well, because I did a kind of live Twitter space earlier on the back of this a few hours ago. So there was news that came out about back of three, I think it was, maybe before that, that there's potential for a Saudi Arabian team and a Championship team to bid for Lauren Shankland. Now, I've seen a lot of Hearts fans on my Twitter feed basically saying that Shankland didn't look interested yesterday, which I don't agree with. I think he was frustrated yesterday.
But that was my headline, by the way. That was my headline, Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, I mean, oh, there we go. That's what we're like.
I mean, as neutrals, and please be fair, but as neutrals, if a club did come in for Lauren Shankland, how much would you be expecting Hearts to take for him?
From Saudi Arabia.
Well, it's a Saudi Arabian team and a Championship team, but I think it's looking more like Saudi Arabia, to be honest. And as well, the one thing that worries me as well, the Saudi Arabian market closes 3 weeks after the Scottish window. So if we lose him after that, we can't replace him. So if he's going to go, it has to be the next couple of weeks.
I've got an idea. Let's have a game of player cards, right? So someone could start and then we'll say higher or lower. Hopefully I don't know what player card right is. I've already explained it there, right? I'll start, right? Because I never get to go over these things. I'll go 4 million. If it's from Saudi Arabia club, if it's a Championship club, 3 million.
The interesting thing, because I did see this on Twitter, that people were saying four million is probably not worth 4 or 5 million, but it only to Hearts is in terms of their season, what they expect, what they want. So it kind of offshoots in terms of obviously what they're looking for. So I would actually stick at 4 million if it was from a Saudi Arabian club.
You're sticking, okay. Robbie, just because you're in, that's in my line of sight.
I honestly think football has just gone crazy. You see today with Moise Caicedo, the money he's going for.
Oh, don't, it still hurts with Liverpool fan, don't say it.
So I wouldn't be surprised if something like 8 million or something happened for Shankland. If it was from a Saudi team championship, you're only looking at 2-2.5 million. But football's gone so bonkers that you can never not believe some of the money being bandied around. So
you're going higher.
I'll go higher, yeah.
Right, okay. So we've gone from a 4 to an 8. Jenna?
I'm going to go higher. I'm going to go for 9.5. Only if it's the Saudis. Only if it's the Saudis. If it's Championship, 2 million at the most, I think. The Saudis.
Graham's left the podcast. He's away to Tynecastle. He phoned up to Lawrence and he said, come on, I'll drive you there.
That's I'll pack his bags for him.
He can't say it anymore. He's now going.
Aaron. You're like some high numbers, especially like senior wages.
Saudi Arabia, it will be something mental. It'll be 10 plus, it will be, because it's just mad. Like, they don't even think about that as being like, it's just mental. England, I think the issue you have with England is that you always have to knock a bit off of what you think it would be, because they think they deserve a discount for Scottish players. So, 3.
The game kind of worked. The problem is, like, we've had the Saudi Arabia thing and we've had the English.
That's totally. I think the Saudi Arabia thing skews things so much.
But I think they'll only need to come in with one bid, though. So I think they're not going to start off with 9 million. I think they would start off with 4, and then that would be enough for Hearts to then go, right, that's fine.
How long's it left in his contract, Graham?
2025. So he's got about 2 years to run.
2 years to run. Yeah.
Saudi Arabia thing's weird, isn't it? Like, are all the best players just going to play there and then we'll just never see them again?
Well, you look at Neymar today, and he was supposed to be one of the best players in the world.
But how crazy is it that they're going, right, okay, here's Cristiano Ronaldo, here's Neymar, here's Jack Hendry, here's Lord Shankland, all in the same kind of breadth. They're all, we'll get Lord Shankland in to lead our line, as well as Ronaldo and Benzema.
Where do we watch this league?
Well, we don't, I think. Is that not the...
Oh, it's
It's
secret. It's all
not
secret as well. We can't
not
see it.
morally right to watch it.
Is it the Zan that we've got the rights?
D
Yeah, I
A
think
Z
they have.
N.
It just feels really strange, doesn't it? Yeah, it's weird.
Seems to have came out of nowhere as well. Like 2 or 3 years ago, I don't remember hearing about the Saudi teams, and now it seems as if like all the major players are somehow involved or are getting linked to teams and might not actually sign for them. I'd love to know the ins and outs of how has
It's
this
weird,
came
isn't it?
about so quickly.
The closest that we've had, I suppose, is when folk were going to China, but when it was China, it wasn't your top stars that were going. Whereas now, it seems like the Saudis are wanting to make an impression and try and sign the best players that are available. So that's where it becomes a wee bit different and a threat. But I
But is it
have
all?
very little sympathy for the English clubs that I'm on about it because the English clubs have been doing it for years with the Sky TV money, etc., etc. So if it's their players that are getting pinched, tough luck.
Oh, but
But I suppose
is
we
it
look
all?
at a bigger impact of if it impacts our game, because you want the best players playing in Scotland, potentially. We'd over like to see them move on to Italy, whatever, in different countries. But I wouldn't be happy if my players were going to Saudi, I think. Unless it's...
Let's be honest, if you're going to Saudi Arabia, you're going for the money. You're not going to further your career. I mean, look at Jota, 25 million. He went for the money. He didn't go to further his career. And if somebody put it to me the other day, and I actually agree with them as well, it probably won't be long until we get a Saudi team in the Champions League because they're just going to buy it all.
Well, that's the thing. Is it financial fair play? Is this a way for teams to get around the financial fair play of UEFA that they have certain deals set up with Saudi teams? So obviously you've got Newcastle owned by a Saudi, but there's also this kind of talk with Chelsea. You look at the people that Chelsea have bought recently and then who they've sold, and then supposedly the hedge fund is partly funded by the Saudis and it's all kind of shifting. I don't think it will be Champions League. I think it will be some sort of FIFA World Club Championship. I think that's what they'll go for. And Saudi Arabia will try and fund a bit like that LIV Golf.
Bring back the Super League idea again. That'll happen again.
Right, okay. So going back to Hearts, we've had the higher lower game. We've had Inspector Gadget. I feel like we're back in the 80s, maybe 90s. Graham, you're fully confident the Hearts are going through. Scott?
I'm going to say yes just for Graham because I like his passion. And I do think, to be fair, outside, one of the best games that I've ever been to was Tynecastle Under the Lights. It is a phenomenal stadium. So I'm going to go for Hearts.
Okay, Erin.
I actually think Hearts might get through. I wouldn't have thought so last week, but I think they might.
Might go through, I
Thanks,
will go
Erin.
through. Yeah, definitive answer.
I think they will, yeah.
Yeah, right, okay, that's fine. Jenna.
I love your enthusiasm, Graham. I hope you're right for your own sake more than anything else, but I don't know. The fact you've got two players that are eligible to play now that they weren't able to play before, I'm thinking you have a chance, but I'm not confident. I don't think you will. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't see it. I'm sorry.
There you go. Okay. I think it's like Family Fortunes for that one from Jenna. Robbie.
As much as I said we can't underestimate Rosenborg, I think under lights at Tynecastle, that steep slopes, the atmosphere will hopefully be better, as Graeme says, because of that occasion. Might go to extra time with pens, but I think Hearts can do it. With that consolation with 10 minutes to go last Thursday, that's kind of got life back in that tie. So I think if they set up well, get in the faces from the off and maybe get an early goal, then I'm sure Naismith and McAvoy's side can do it.
Right, okay, we shall move on to maybe the biggest surprise of the week. Hibs actually had a really good performance in Europe. Or just maybe had a really good performance. We could just end it at that.
It was
Graham,
actually really good.
Erin, anyone? Erin?
I thought they were going to really struggle, and I thought it was a pity because obviously they've got Aston Villa potentially, and I can just imagine how absolutely excited Hibs Twitter is going to be because they can speak about John McGinn all day, every day. Their favourite thing to do. I think they still wish him a happy birthday. It's mad. Also, to be fair, for their fans, a really good trip. Burnley was brilliant. It's so good because you can do it in a night, and they'll get a decent amount of tickets. I think it'll be brilliant. So I actually would like them to get through. And I actually think they will. I think they played really well. Not an easy draw for them. And yeah, good. Fine.
Is this like what will happen when AI replaces me in the podcast, that you'll answer the questions before they're even asked?
I'm just in a little summary.
Right.
Yeah,
No,
I think, no,
just
I do. I think they'll get through, and I think it's a good effort. Not an easy team. Obviously, the league's not going brilliantly, but perhaps they've made their choice. I don't know. You can have both. You know, it doesn't have to be one or the other, does it? Maybe they can only
well.
play good on a Thursday now. But yeah, the league going absolutely terribly.
I'm quite surprised you've not made your joke about how good it would be if Hibs get through.
Well, it would be good. Say what you want though about Switzerland, their flag. It's a big plus.
Okay, brilliant.
It's an
Right.
absolute classic.
All right. It's the way you tell it. Robbie.
Yeah, I watched the Hibs game and it just showed how you could only have 34% of possession in the game, but be effective when they did. And four shots on target, three goals, and especially that Obita goal in stoppage time. That really, a two-goal cushion over Luzern, who are also no mugs. It capped off an excellent performance, considering I'd watched Hibs in the previous game and thought the defence was a shambles and they was in for a long season. But they've kind of, obviously at the weekend against Jena's beloved team, they maybe went back to reality. But it'll be tough. We've got to mention this for all of Scottish teams playing Thursday, Sunday. Easier for Celtic and Rangers because they've got bigger squads, more budget, and Hibs will be one of many that might struggle to balance that European duties. But you've got to look at it. A two-goal cushion over Luzern to go over there to Switzerland. I'd be like Aaron and fancy Hibs to go through and get this match made in heaven with Super John McGinn.
Okay, just on the back of that, Robbie, you said something that made me click. And Graham, you'd had your headline, I think, for this one, didn't you?
Yeah, on the back of yesterday, my headline was, after what Lee Johnson's been saying the last couple of days, fish out of water as Johnson runs out of Last Suppers.
He's been coming out with some crazy stuff.
That was Graham coming out of that. That's Graham's headline.
The lion thing.
In game.
So I really don't
That was
understand.
hilarious.
He said you were running at like 80 something percent capacity or whatever, however they figure that out.
No, I quite like
How
that one
quick would you have
actually.
gone if a lion chased you? And he said 103, but like,
No, Will Fish
I think Lee
replied. So
Johnson's a bit mad.
Johnson asked Fish, how fast would you run? Would you run at 83% of your capability if a lion was chasing you? And he goes, no, I would run at 107% or whatever it was. He would run even faster than he possibly could. I don't like that actually. That's a pity. I mean, it's not over 100%. It's 100%. I'm not going over it.
Agreed.
But I got the point there that he was trying to show that he was going to be running for his life as fast as he could. That one was all right. And I said last week, he's brilliant banter for the rest of us to laugh at,
Oh,
I think.
it's funny, but I think he's mad.
Aye.
Did was it Steven Gerrard who said about going to Celtic Park? He told the players it would be like going to Lion's Den, but he told them it wouldn't actually be because a Lion's Den is when there's a cage of lions, and then they open it, and he was like, "And there won't be lions there." And I thought, "Oh dear,
Oh,
yeah."
the Lions Den's Millwall.
Just honestly, managers are mad.
Right,
I
okay.
think Hibs league absolutely terrible. It's made an awful Motherwell terrible. So I don't know.
Onto that, but onto the league. Steady on.
Oh, they're maybe just saving themselves. They're maybe trying hard. I don't know. Maybe they're just focusing on Europe for now.
Yes.
Or maybe
Jenna.
Motherwell are just very, very good.
Yeah.
We are very, very good.
Are you actually really good? Because I don't want you to be. Because I need a few teams to be not very good.
We've been really amazing. Like the turnaround that we've had in the past 6 months, it's like night and day. It's the first time in a long time I've actually felt this hopeful at the start of a season. Like I've convinced myself that we are winning a trophy every this season. We've got no chance of actually doing it. But that start of the season hope, it's strong. It's beautiful. Number 1 to 10. But then we
Had
get our first
that last
defeat, and I'll
Friday
be
night,
convinced
and
that's
then
it.
it was gone on Saturday.
That's what happens when you support Aberdeen.
When do we play you?
I'm not sure. I'll check the fixtures now. I know it's like quite a while away yet.
Yeah, it's a late on one, I think. I want to say it's, yeah, I think it
I
is a
think
while.
it's midweek, but I just can't remember what month it
Oh,
is.
it's the 1st of November. Yeah, so while yet. We'll see where we are then.
Hopefully the bubbles burst with Stuart Kettlewell by then. Because I've seen a stat earlier with, was it like two losses in 22 games or something really good under Kettlewell? And I was
Have
like,
a
I'm
couple of
surprised how good it
draws.
was.
We are doing absolutely amazing. Let that kettle boil forever. Give that man a lifetime contract.
How many teams' surnames are the same as the manager's surname, the last four letters?
What, you said kettlebell and motherwell the same name now?
Okay, well, and
I
well.
knew you, yeah, the well bit, but you can't even.
Aye.
Well,
I
probably
do.
none. Actually,
I
that's a
do.
quiz question. Oh, someone tweet us if you think of one.
If you,
I think
aye.
I'm going to butcher this boy's name. Is it Berif? But Mika Berif, the
The Arsenal
player.
boy, yeah.
He was. He could be some player, by the way. That
He is phenomenal.
reminded me
Cheeky.
of. It reminded me of Kenny Miller when Kenny Miller burst onto the scene at Hibs. Like, deceptively powerful, pacey, and his finish the other day was fantastic. I think he could really be the difference between Motherwell top six and not top six. If he could stay fit and be like that for the full season, he could be an absolute star.
I just know he's going to break my heart at the end of the season when we don't get the chance to buy him.
Never fall in love with a lone player.
Oh, too late for that. Have to watch him at the game. That's it. In love with him. Heart eyes forever. Who needs Van Veen? Forgotten about already.
Exactly. Who's he? Mercenary. Do you think Hibs will go through, Jenna?
I think they've got a good chance now. When I did see them on Sunday, I knew they'd be a bit tired, wouldn't be at their best because they did play on Thursday. But to be honest, they looked so disinterested in the game. There was times when that young guy we're talking about, the sign from Arsenal, was playing, and honestly, he ran rings around the player. He actually went around about him twice, and it was that. That's what I mean. Like, he's just so cheeky. I think you could see the enjoyment in his face as he's doing it. But they struggled to get into the game. Like, they barely had a shot on target. As well, they had a handful, if that, that I can remember from the top of my head, where Kayleigh actually had to do something other than just watch the ball kind of roll in front of him. They were lucky with the penalty, that kind of dug them out a little bit. But even then, like, you could tell it was us that was up for the fight. I think they're just thinking solely on Europe now, which I don't blame them. You want to do it as far as you can, especially if there's a chance of me playing against John McGinn. I know they have to settle for Paul when they're playing against us, but. No, we'll have to see the big man play. But I think they'll get through, but they've got no chance against Aston Villa. They've got absolutely no chance.
I need to ask you, when we're on the subject of Motherwell then, how good a player is Miller going to be?
That boy is a future for Scotland, I'm telling you. 5 years, maybe six at a push, I'm trying to remember how young he actually is. I can
Exciting.
see him being a regular in the Scotland squad easily.
It's always good for like a young player coming through for any of the clubs, I think, regardless whether it's your own club or anyone else. Right, okay, so you're confident Hibs will go through. So we've got three out of three so far. Robbie, can
Yeah, I think.
Hibs get through, or what Hibs it?
Yeah, no, I think Hibs will go through, but having watched the last few games, defensively, the poorest were similar to Hearts. I think they'll need to score a couple to go through. It'll be goals in the game. But having that 2-goal advantage from the first leg will be the. They'll be buzzing with that, and surely, with the transition, they've got Juan, Boyle, Lafondre's up and running. They've got enough firepower in attack to go through and hopefully have maximum Scottish teams in the next round of Europe. But as we've all said, once Villa come to town, there's no chance.
Just realised I asked you already, but never mind.
Yeah.
Scott.
I think they're going to shite the bed. I mean, this is the same team that
Oh, is
lost.
it going to be like a scene from Trainspotting, the Spud?
This is the same team that lost a team in Andorra. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't get too ahead of myself. Yeah, listen, I was surprised with the result that they got, and they did well with it, the bits that I watched. And it's just, I think Hibs are a bit Jekyll and Hyde, and it's more leaning towards the absolutely schizo defence that they've got that's just going to be laid bare in Switzerland. I think it's just going to be too much for them. And it's a shame because I would love to see them play in Aston Villa. And I think even if they were turned over by Aston Villa, it would be still a great thing for the fans and everything else. I just think they're going to just bottle it and do a Hibs and get papped out.
Okay, so a big it's and a shit the bed from Scott. And it's only fair that we leave the last word on Hibs to a Hearts fan.
Over the years, there's been different definitions of Hibsing it, and this is going to be another one. I mean, I keep getting told that they've got this amazing defender, the best defender in the league in Will Fish, and he's been absolutely garbage. Hibs are going out. They're going to get beat 3-0. If they get beat 2-0 by an Andorran team, they're going to get done by this team.
Right, okay. No, it was quite short, but sweet. It's good. Right, okay. Just while we're on the old headline game, anyone else got a wee headline from the last week of Scottish football?
I went down the similar route based on Lee Johnson's comments with the bear catches fish, Hibs flushed out by the well.
Oh.
That's good.
You need to send me that one. That could be the weekly one up.
I like it.
I had a fish out of water one, but I feel like it's all very much the same theme, isn't it? You'd be a fish out of water
by doing the headline, wouldn't you now?
Well, I'll try and think of another one quickly then.
Robbie, is yours ready or is it still to come?
Still to come, yeah.
Waiting for some inspiration?
Yeah, I need some inspiration big time. I had a couple in my head, but after hearing what others have done, it's nowhere near that standard. So I'll think of some a witty comment once we come into Don's talk, probably.
Yeah, I've got some
don't
strong
ones. Don't worry about it, Robbie. That was my second attempt. My original one for this was a lot more cringe. It was just Spirit breaks Hibernian's heart. So that was it's not as good of an alliteration, but you get there.
Aye, no, I like that one. Right, it was a good contender so far. But we'll obviously talk about the weekend action. We have talked about it a wee bit in some kind of context of the European ties. What would you say was the goal of the week in the Premiership? Scott?
I think Dowell's goal for Rangers was good, but I actually liked the boy, I'm going to call him Mika because I can't pronounce his surname, for Motherwell. I don't know, there was just something about his performance, and it's only a wee tiny bits and you get the highlights and stuff, but he just seemed explosive. The way he was pushing, was it Hanlon or Stevenson, can't remember which one, off the ball, and it was just ease. I do think he's going to have a really good season at Motherwell. There'll be that finish turning it back into Marshall rather than away from him. So I'm going to go with that one.
I was quite concerned because I was
anytime, Scott. Come join us anytime, Luke.
I was quite concerned because I was watching Sports Scene last night, watching the highlights. You know that way sometimes you're kind of watching, you're kind of half watching. And it said Motherwell won Hibs now. And I was thinking, I've not seen a goal in these highlights. What's going on? They put up it was 1-0 already. I kept on rewinding to go over
yeah.
the goal.
Yeah, I did the same, so
It was, I think it was quite late on Sunday as well. So, aye. Right, okay. Jenna, what do you think was the goal of the week in the Premiership?
I have to echo Scott's very one. I keep watching it back. He made a good effort. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but did you see the first goal that we scored eventually in the highlights? Were you able to catch it?
I know, I once I realised that Sports Scene had fucked up and it wasn't my eyes.
I was going to say, with that one, that was, I thought he was the one that scored it until they announced it was Archie Wilkinson that put it into the net. The full game, he was, as soon as it came on, dominated it. And I think that's one of the best goals I've seen so far this season, including from the group stages for the Cup. So it's going to be him all the way, and I'm hoping he replicates that on Sunday, or even Saturday, even against St Mirren, or even goes all the way and scores from like the halfway line or something juicy like that. I've got full faith in the boy. I'm obsessed with him.
Well, seeing as you're talking about goals from the halfway line, we'll move on to Graham, the old Humphreys from last year. What was your goal of the week?
I'm going to have to give it to Conor Randall for Ross County. I mean, the move was really good. And for a guy that's been mainly a right back, now moved into midfield, it was a top-class finish. So for me, Conor Randall.
Yeah, I did like that one myself. Erin?
Is it bad to see my off-space?
knew you were going to say it. We all knew it. You just say it. We all know that that's in your head. No, that's going to be the
right. Do you know what? I liked it. It was nice. It was our first goal of the season. It was a nicely worked goal. Him and Duke, they're friends.
It was actually a good team goal. It would have been up there for me. So
they also almost had an overhead synchronized kick.
It was Ryan Duncan's pass that made it.
Ryan Duncan was good on Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, I hate when we play on Sunday. Really confuses me. I will happily say he was very good.
So are you going Aberdeen Ma honours and you're going for the Aberdeen goal?
I'm going for Mavsky's goal, yeah.
Right, okay. Robbie?
Can I just ask the Aberdeen fans quickly, are you all right now being in Livingston's level? Because the day before, when Livingston got beat off Rangers, it was, the performance was all right, and it wasn't really a 4-0. And then the same thing happened to you guys with Celtic. And you said, no, I didn't. And you all said, yeah, it was a good performance. I mean, Barry Robson, I thought that was the happiest thing I've ever seen, Barry Robson. And he's got beat 3-1.
It is the best I've seen us play against Celtic in a very long time.
I don't like it. See this whole, it was a good performance over that, blah, 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 blah. I could not care if he was.
No, I don't like, I'd not, I don't think that's fine. I think it's just more that last Saturday, we were genuinely so horrific. If we play like this, the way we did, it's only yesterday, because like days ago, the way we did yesterday, any team other than Celtic, we won that game. Like, we were good. And I was worried because last week was so bad that I thought, really, is this it? Good. Actually, Geoffrey, last time we played Celtic at Chaudhry, we defended so far back, we're in the sea.
Aaron, you're saying you had to beat anybody else apart from Celtic. You gave them 3 goals. You gifted them 3 goals. So it's not as if you gift anybody 3 goals, you're not going to come back
from
it.
We won't do that. We won't concede it.
Oh, right, sorry. Right. It's only against Celtic you plan to do that. No,
what I will say about Celtic is they look fine, obviously, they're Celtic. Joe Hart is a massive weak link, I think.
Yeah,
like he stands out as being arguably not
domestically. That's a problem.
Great, yeah. Like I'd kind of thought he was like so-so anyway. And then, I mean, I think Ruse is a million times better than him. I thought Joe Hart was a massive liability, and I presume they're buying a keeper.
No, I don't think they are, and they should be because. Probably last
season
they
could have got him. Sigrist still there.
Sigrist is still there, but
and
yeah.
Oh, and Scott Bain.
This is completely out of favour. Have I made this up that Sigrist fell in love with someone in Australia or something like that? Have I made that up? Like he's been some online dating thing. No?
Online dating? What do you say? It's like distance, do you want to?
Podcast exclusive for me, John.
Let me just see. It's Sigrist.
Is this you're trying to get an RTV
you
show?
You're like
on?
Distance. And I think put as far as Australia, aye, aye. That's quite bold.
He's got a celebrity girlfriend from Australia.
What's her name?
It's not Postecoglou, is it?
Brittany Hotley. Brittany Hotley, aye. See, so I don't know what his deal is.
So maybe he wants to go to Australia. United.
Well, he wants to move to Australia. So maybe.
Gossip this.
You can't really blame him. Robbie, what was your goal of the weekend?
Oh, I think he's nearly putting me on the Don's chat again and going with Duke and Miosti because it was great, but it pains me to say it. I wrote down great strike by Dowell for Rangers 4th, and I'll have to give him credit for that because I slagged Dowell watching that Servette game when he came on, thought he was quite wasteful in possession and didn't like really look like to implode himself in the pitch that much, and then when he scored that goal, it'll do his confidence the world of good, slotting in that Rangers midfield. And when you're playing for Rangers, you need to add goals to your game as well from all different positions. So I'll give Rangers credit for once, but first and last time, maybe.
Wash your mouth with soap. Right, okay, that's fine. Back to the end of Celtic Aberdeen game, seeing as it's been kind of touched on a wee bit, you can just kind of make mistakes against them. You're just gifting goals. Never know. Robbie, what was your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, a lot of my friends can call me Boo Boy Bob and things like this because I do get heightened at games. And like that Livingston game last week was atrocious. I was thinking we still need 5 or 6 players ASAP. That could be seen by having 2 goalkeepers on the bench. And hashtag Sockler, 7 to 8 minutes is kind of the only thing Robson will do in terms of changes. So the squad depth needs to be sorted. But In terms of the performance, it's not often you can leave Pataudry after a defeat, in Folkunnar leaving early, clapped him off the pitch, and that feel-good factor seemed to be there, which sounds silly, but there was a lot of players, few of the better players yesterday, with people that have been criticised a lot. Ryan Duncan, Dante Povara and Shaden Morris get criticised a lot. Folks say they shouldn't be in the first team, but they all had really good games, so I think you've got to take positives like that from it. And as we say, and Scott mentions, three really sloppy goals. You've got Shinny making a silly challenge for the first one. You've got Devlin, obviously, unaware and playing out of position for the second. And then Shaden Morris, who looked absolutely knackered and needed taking off, nuts tracking his marker for a right league third, which really put the game to bed. But on... Yeah, that sounds like all negatives, but there was so much positives. And as Robson said, don't see an Aberdeen team go in Celtic's face and play some really good football. And I think it was the better team. So I go into the next game's obviously against Stirling, expected to win, but got a lot more promise after playing Celtic than I did for playing Livingston. And Aaron and yourself probably might have seen similar glimpses of hope from that match.
Yeah, I feel all right about Stirling. Obviously, there's the slight worry because of the Darvel situation. But I think probably be okay, Stirling. Feel fine about it. Yeah, be nice.
Is this still what Aberdeen do? Get somebody in, does all right for a couple of months, give them a long-term contract, and then off the wheels come at the start of the next season?
It's all fine. It's Stirling, beat Stirling, and then beat Motherwell, beat Hacken twice, beat Hibs, done. Break, little rest.
So you're beating Stirling, Albion, and then suddenly we're into November and you're playing Motherwell?
Oh no, it's Hibs and St Mirren, yeah. Beat Stirling, beat St Mirren, beat Hibs, beat Hacken twice, and then we get a little rest.
Oh, Erin has gone back to the future with the old DeLorean there.
I'm
the one playing this game. No one else is even getting involved with any of these TV programmes or films or anything. I'm disappointed.
I got confused by it.
What do you mean you get confused? What was difficult about it?
Well, I don't know. I didn't understand. Is that a competition?
Well, it could be. Headline, Chris likes to take part. He went for Kyle Godo. That was his. I don't know.
They should stop taking
part. Do we think Devlin is at fault for that?
Definitely, there's no doubt about it.
Do we think?
Like, Stevie Wonder thought he was at fault.
You don't head the ball when you're that far away from your goal, that high, and you're playing against somebody like Kyogo.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? And I would say pretty much any other team, you're safe to do that.
I wouldn't say you're safe to that high. You're always going to be... Listen, yeah, as John says, you always have to know where your surroundings are. So it was a ridiculous decision.
Robbie, just to kind of go back to you quickly before we move on, where is the need to strengthen the most for Aberdeen? Because it might differ a wee bit to Erin, because Erin a couple of weeks ago said we didn't need any more players.
I've said since we started the window... I think we need, I said to start the window up, I think 12 players left, and I said we need similar, if not more, coming in. And people laughed at me, said there's no chance that we'll get that many in. And I'm like, if we're competing on four different fronts, we need to be stronger than last season, not weaker. And yeah, I agree with Robson, we need to get good characters, big family guys like James McGarry. Watched his interview today, thought he was spoke the right things, but positional, need a left centre-back, that's why they're not giving up on Liam Scales. Because Jack McKenzie's okay, but he's a squad player at the best for me. He can't be starting these big European group stage games. And you've got to have cover. Then I'd be getting maybe two centre-mids, if not one definitely. Depends on Conor Barron's future, because he seems totally out the picture. And with Yobo Ramadani leaving, you could say Dante Povara is like a new signing, but we haven't seen enough of him to know he can do it consistently. And then it looked like when they was going for Tony Oteklik that they was needing a centre attacking mid. And when the Phillips was linked, Killian Phillips from Crystal Palace, they said that it wasn't one or the other. It was going for both. So I think there's many positions that they could strengthen and possibly even up front, because Babbage, I'd maybe rather get him out on loan, playing regular football at that age, and then maybe take someone else in as like that fourth choice striker. But depends what Robson thinks, because he doesn't seem to be that trustworthy of his bench. So it could be 3 or 4 leave before we actually get more bodies in the next 2 weeks. I don't know what you used to think on that, but you've got Stewart and Bissouin.
Is the worry, Robbie, though, at this stage with like 2.5 weeks left in the transfer market, it's going to be loan players that come in? And not the players.
Would panic at being loan players, but listening to Robson's Red TV interview, he was saying when he first came in, 8 of the first 11 were loan players. Now it's all players that's permanent to Aberdeen. The signings this summer, other than Reece Williams, I think have all been permanent. So it's something that's been my bugbear for years. We haven't had a proper left back. It's always been loans or square pegs in round holes. We've got that. And they're selling this dream to players of, as we've seen with Ramadani, one good season and you can get a move to a top 5 league. Obviously, as Aberdeen fans, you want these players like Duke and Miofsky there as long as possible, but you can attract the calibre of players that we might have not before. Because as Aaron says, when was the last time the two players, the one player trying an overhead kick, never mind synchronised, and it almost pays off. So it's nice to see a array of players from different countries come to the Scottish League, and hopefully Aberdeen can be smart with the transfer business over the next few weeks, and we'll see a new look squad by the time we're playing Hacking and hopefully beating them, like Aaron says.
But what happens if you don't, though? And then you've bought this squad for 4 fronts, and then Stirling Albion beat you, and then you get lost to Hacking, and then suddenly you're down to 2 fronts straight away. And I'm not saying that would happen, but it's Scottish football. I mean, you didn't think Darvel would beat you last year. So
I thought it was nice that you were back. and then imagine you lose every other single game and then get relegated to the Championship.
No, but it just shows you how hard it is for a Scottish team to kind of juggle, you know, these sort of transfer theories when you could be out the 2 competitions within a month, or you could be still in 4 going into Christmas.
We will be okay at Stirling. 2, even if we lose Tacken, I'm not saying I don't care, but it actually isn't the end of the world. We're in European groups anyway. I think we'll struggle this season playing Thursday, Sunday, but most teams do. And to be honest, it's just nice to be in the groups. It's nice to have something exciting. Pretty much a sellout yesterday. 4,500 at Livingston. Generally, I think things are feeling okay. Defence is the only problem, because our defence last season ended up actually being brilliant. We conceded 1 in 7. It was a penalty. And they're all, other than Angus McDonald, who's still bloody injured, none of them are here. So that's the problem. McCrory's gone. Pollock's still on the bench at Watford. And I do look at it and think, but can't see it. Scales, potentially. But also, it looks like we're playing a back.
Is the Scales deal in the balance?
Lovely. Liked that. I'm going to keep that one, actually. But I do just think the problem's going to be we need to decide what we're playing formation-wise and how we fit in the players that we're actually buying, because obviously we need a bench, but Scales isn't coming to sit on a bench. McDonald's not going to sit on a bench either. We have got, in numbers, not a bad amount of players. If we get the defence sorted out, the rest will just go from there.
Need more quality. Graham, you come in.
I was just going to ask, kind of, as with the Shankland and Hart situation, is there a concern that someone in the next 2 weeks comes in for Duke and offers really ridiculous money and he might go? Because as much as Aberdeen have got real quality, there is no doubt for me that Duke is a master play for Aberdeen. So is it a worry that in the next couple of weeks that Duke might go and it's going to be very hard to replace him?
We had a Q&A event thing and Dave Cormack was pretty open about treating the club like business, money in for players, selling at good times, etc. But Duke, he was clear, would be going nowhere, because money is all well and good in the bank, but you need players on the pitch. And I got my shirts printed at the weekend and they're done and that's it. And there's no discounts, there's no.
And don't worry, I've made sure we're okay. I think we'll be okay on Duke.
Remind us last season, who was it you got printed on your shirts?
McCrory. But you didn't go to the end of the season. That's totally fine.
Yeah. And who else?
Zowin. He's back.
I mean, you're Zowin.
Mr. Sticky Toffee Pudding.
Aye.
Season before, Conte and Fergie.
Right. So basically, whatever.
But no one's gone during, like, as in they've all gone at the end of the season, and then it's quite nice, isn't it? Actually, it's quite poetic. Gonna get Anthony Stewart and Jack McKenzie on another two.
That would be a plan.
That's the other thing, actually. We are gonna have to take some players out on loan if we do sign a few more, because they're gonna have to go and play. Kieran and Gwenya going on loan to Partick seems a weird one, because I don't know that he'll be playing there much.
Yeah, we've got Jack Milne, and he's tremendous, one of the best in the league in that position, so. It does seem strange when there was other championship clubs after them who had a more vacant left back role.
Yeah, I put Jack McKenzie out on loan. Probably, maybe Alfie Babbage potentially. It'd be good for them to actually play every week.
Problem is the squad isn't big enough just now, and it's not got enough quality. So we need to see what we've got.
And we need to pay up.
Were you saying something?
Yeah, it's not Aaron that seems to chase away players after getting them on their T-shirts, but for me, it seems to be whenever I interview a manager, a couple of games later gone, regardless of how their team's doing, either get bumped or they leave. And it's the same with players. If I'm at a press event, I've got a picture with a player that after it, they immediately leave the club. I don't know what it is. It happened with Liam Grimshaw, it happened with Tony Watt, it happened with Declan Gallagher, it happened with Saundry Solomon, that one wrote.
You got to buy Gat Dick and Gallagher, were you?
He's my guilty pleasure. We all love a bad boy.
So you're like the Aaron Ramsey, like when Aaron Ramsey scores a goal, someone dies. Like you.
That's like me. I get a picture with a player and they're gone. I'm kind of scared though, because I did go to the calendar signing event that my mother did at Christmas there. Out with a friend, like her younger siblings, that was an excuse to go use the kids. I was saying, I want to go meet the players, definitely not us.
The calendar's the bane of my life. You get to September, you're like, oh, brilliant, here's people, like, waste of everyone's time.
Oh, it was great. One of the first months in it was Louis Moult, and he was already gone by that point, is that?
Although I did one year have a good, so we had Max Lowe on loan, and everyone loved him, he was brilliant. I would have him back in a second, he was an excellent player. And he was on January, but he was only on loan until Christmas. So rightly, I said, well, it opened up. And I was like, well, great. Well, that's 2021. It must have been ruined already. Like, why would you put him on? Oh, God, no, it must have been 2019, maybe? Feels like a long time ago. Why would you put a player who's on loan until January on the calendar? So, yeah, I think it was 2019. I was like, oh, 2019 ruined already. Just want him back. And then a couple of weeks later, when we re-signed him on loan for the rest of the season, the club retweeted my calendar tweet, which is quite cool.
Oh. Of fame.
I liked that.
Jenna, did you have an intention like get a photo with a player in the hope that they did leave?
At first I thought it was just a coincidence. The first couple of times I was like, this is a maybe. But then literally the one day at Ladies Day a couple of years ago, it was Liam Grimshaw, Tony Watt and Keith Lasley. And they went in the exact reverse order. Grimmy went first, Tony Watt went, and then Lasley went. And it's just went downhill since then. Saundry Solomon left after I got a picture with him. Literally 2 weeks later, he didn't even let me a chance to savour the moment. He immediately gone. Try to think who else is there. So far, I did get some with Stephen O'Donnell. Van Veen, I got one with him. He's gone. So at this point, I'm scared. I think I've been cursing them and I've not realised it. They've seen me right now. We're getting out of here.
It's their business. Like, but like fans of other clubs that wanted to get rid of players, they could hire you. Well, I'll be your agent and we'll charge a fee of $1 million, we'll say.
I'll get Celtic that new goalkeeper.
Get another player. There we go.
Let me meet the goalkeepers, they'll all be gone.
And you know what the ideal thing is as well? You've got the ideal surname for it, like Dial Thompson.
Exactly.
Do you know Thompson?
We just need to make sure how they spell it. They spell it the correct way, that's fine.
Right, okay. What games have we missed on Saturday? Let's go back. Ross County and St Johnson. Graham, you mentioned Randall's goal, which is a belter.
Yeah, I thought County were excellent against Celtic. They didn't deserve to be 3-0 down, but if you give chances to Celtic, they're going to take them. I thought Ross County were excellent last week, and they carried it on. I thought they were dominant on Saturday. Should have won by about 5 or 6, had numerous chances. Simon Murray missed a couple of glorious chances. But I think they'll be fine this season. I don't think they'll be top six, but I think they'll be fine. They look like they've got a threat going forward. They look reasonably solid defensively, and they've got that threat up front as well. And they should have won back by more. I think Ross Kent will be fine. I don't think they'll be fit relegation this time. But in terms of St Johnstone, they look done already. There's only two games in, and they look so... There's a lack of confidence, a lack of leadership. They've got nothing up front. Stevie May is about their only real threat. The only positive, I think, from them was a young lad, the Taylor Stephen, that came on, who looked a decent enough player. But already, they look doomed. I mean, I don't think McLean should have got the job in the first place. I think it was a bad appointment. And I think every single person I've spoke to, every pundit I've heard, has talked about St Johnstone going down. And you can understand why. I mean, he's already thrown his players under the bus, saying it was unacceptable, which it was. They just look devoid of any ideas. I mean, getting beat 4-0 by Stirling Albion a few weeks ago, losing at Hearts last week, losing this game as well. Three games in a row, they've not scored. And they just look devoid of ideas. I genuinely think already they could be gone early this season. And I wouldn't be surprised if Stephen McLean is gone quite early because they just look so poor.
I think the issue that we've heard is that he probably St John's couldn't maybe afford to sack him. It's obviously a kind of cheap appointment, but the ownership issue there is causing a problem. And they've spent a lot of money when McCann and Kerr left, so I don't know.
I mean, I think the goalkeeper Mitov looks a really good player. He's probably the best bet at the moment because he looks like he's going to be busy in every game. And I think the striker they've got on Luke Jeffcott, not really offered very much at the moment, but they've got 2 weeks left of the window. I know that Stephen McLean did say a couple of weeks ago they're going to be busy. They're going to have to be because they've got no threat at all going forward. Stephen May on Saturday looked frustrated. It's the only threat they've got. And I generally think they're going to be, I've said already, I think they're in massive, massive trouble this season. They just look a team, they're rudderless at the moment. As in terms of Ross County, I was impressed with them. 2 weeks running against Celtic on Saturday, I've been impressed with them. They've got an identity, they look really good going forward. You know, to go to Celtic Park in the first game of the season, score twice, probably could have scored a couple more. I think County look good this season. I really do think they look good.
Yeah. Hey, Robbie?
Yeah, I've got to agree with Graham, especially on St Johnstone. You just feel, like I put them to finish bottom in my BBC predictor and you just don't see any identity from that team. And when Stephen McLean's saying post-match that he'd rather a team of 16-year-olds or something along that lines than what he had witnessed, it's a sad indictment of the current Saints squad. And yeah, Ross County, in up to Dingwall in general, is a stuffy place to go, but it's not just that one result in isolation. If it was, then St Johnstone fans might give them leeway, but I can see them getting caught up and doomed very quickly as well, because unless they can get maybe a few lone players in, the squad's lacking quality all over. And as you say, even guys like Stevie May, don't think he's got to rediscover his form of almost, did I say, 10 years ago. So, Jenna, maybe St Johnstone might have wanted to keep Theo Bear after putting him up for sale, and he goes to Motherwell and scores on his debut, I think.
We didn't just take the Bear from them, we released him.
Love it.
That's over the headline.
It would have been perfect for last week, to be fair. I'm pretty sure it was last week he got the goal in his debut, but week late to the party with that one.
Robert Niles, what do you think? Jenna, Scott, Erin?
He'll be away for October time. So Johnstone manager will be away by then.
St Johnstone are going to really struggle this season, I think. I actually think County will as well. I think it's going to be tough down at the bottom. There'll be a few teams all around there. Livy, probably. Dundee, potentially. I think it will be tough.
Aberdeen, fully at 1 point so far, so can't discount them.
As if. I do think Killy will get top six.
What's that?
I think Killy will get top six.
Aye.
I think they're six. I think they look so much better, and I think the big difference is first season coming up, didn't want to spend any money, it's a risk, you might go back down, stayed up, spent some money, look good. Yeah, I think Ross County will struggle, and I wouldn't be gutted to see the back of Malcolm Mackay.
Yeah, I echo that. And I think I think I found funny you saying, John, about McLean, they can't afford to get rid of him. I don't think they can afford to keep him. So I think it's more risking money on somebody else rather than, because it's clearly not working and it's not going to change. He's not got the experience to change it. Once it's the rudder's come off, that's it, and it's came off right at the start. So, yeah, I think he'll be gone sooner rather than later.
Sad times for St. Johnstone fans. The other Saints, St. Mirren, what a team, eh? All the top pre-season was a big struggle at St. Mirren. Unrest behind the scenes.
Then two wins from two. You've got to be impressed with what Robinson's got going there, even though he did get a helping hand from Joe Shaughnessy against his old club. That was a Nicky Devlin-esque in a way, but obviously actually went in rather than gifting the striker. But St Mirren, a statement of intent so far after the highest ever finish, I think, last season. And then they've started the season on a high. And I was hoping Dundee would do well with Tony Docherty as manager, having been at the Dons, but such a yo-yo club, I do think they've got to be down there with St Johnstone and the likes this season, fighting for that playoff spot.
Penalty as well.
Yeah, it was. Was it?
Robinson.
Is it Hemming hits this the winning goalkeeper? No. Yeah.
Zach Robinson took it. Zach Robinson took it.
Robinson took it and then saved. Because you're not going to get many chances. When you're newly promoted side, and I read what Tony Dock said there, and it was just wasteful at times. So hopefully over time, these players will get that experience and maybe not do it, but it could be a long, hard season, I think, for Dundee. They haven't recruited as well as, say, Kilmarnock. I agree with Aaron. Kilmarnock have recruited really well with experienced Scottish Premiership stars. Has Dundee got that? We've got players that's done well in the Championship, but that step up could be bigger than some people think. Like Zach Rudden, for example.
I think as well as you coming in, I think Jenna was trying to come in at the same time. What were you going to say, Jenna?
St Mirren, I love them at the moment. As much as I love Cahill and what he's done for us so far, I still say at this day, one of the worst things that ever happened to us was the downfall of Stephen Robinson at us. I didn't want him to go. I still had faith he was going to turn things around for us when he did leave. And seeing the success he's having with St Mirren, I can't help but feel a little bit jealous. I mean, I know we scraped Europe, not the season just finished there, but the one before. But I always think to myself, what would have been if Robinson stayed? And the fact he's got a lot of our players as well. Like, there used to be rumours, oh, Robinson's lost the dressing room, this has happened. But that's the Mirren squad. But 50 or 60% of it is all former Millwall players. And there's a reason for it. They're still playing like they did when they were with us, but in a good way. It's working for St Mirren. They've still got that team bond there because it's not new to them, if you get where I'm coming from. Those relationships were already formed before they even went on at the pitch, and it's working so brilliantly for them. I joke all the time, it's Millwall Beats, not St Mirren, or St Mirrenwell, whatever you'd prefer to call them. But it is working. I'm scared for how long that will last for, because you can only sign our players for so long. But I'm really happy for St Mirren. I've developed a bit of a soft spot for them because of Stephen Robinson. But it's okay, we'll end up beating them to top six this year.
And Keith Lass is there as well, obviously.
It's too soon. Too soon. Still hurt over that one.
Scott?
I think it's interesting. St Mirren and Kilmarnock have started really well, and it's because, for me, they've got two managers who know the league inside out and who know how to set their teams up, and it's, I think that's why they have started off the way they have. Dundee, I still think will be an interesting one. I'm not entirely sure what's going to happen with Dundee. It's not as clear cut as I think St Johnstone is. Ross County played well there, but they did that a couple of times last season and dropped off the face of a cliff. So There's a few teams that I'm still wanting to see a few, bit more of before I kind of fully commit to where they're going to end up.
Okay. Anyone else want to come in on that game, or should we move on? Right, we'll move on. So we started with a wee bit of a, well, wasn't it? A, what would we call it? Calling out abuse. And maybe can I finish on that as well? With the old Since I Was Young fanzine and the anti-YouTube sentiment.
Waiting for this one.
Hey, well, Jenna, take the floor.
I'm just going to preface this by saying, right, I've got no problems with people who do the YouTube thing. If that's how you like to make your content and you're happy doing it, good for you. Get your name out there. Do what comes natural to you. I get on quite a lot, get on quite well with a lot of the Scottish football vloggers. I won't name drop on this just in case they then turn out. No, we don't. But no jokes. Like, I do really, especially Gogs, you won't mind me saying that on here, but I can understand where they were attempting to come from with the whole violation of privacy. We don't want to be filmed. It's bad enough the police are trying to look at us for things like the banners and stuff like that. We don't want to make it easier for them if there's videos of us being there. I get that fully. However, as someone that studied how to write articles, how to be a professional reporter, the way they've written that article is, I think, what most people are most annoyed about. See if they were to just come out and be like, we're uncomfortable with it. As a section, we do not want YouTubers in this part of the stands at Fir Park. I think majority of people are like, you know what, fair enough. That's completely understandable. Australia stands, we can go on as well as the way in, depending on what of their persuasion. It's not the end of the world. But the fact they were deliberately saying Sam North's name wrong, the name calling, and to be honest, the hypocrisy in one breath, be like, yeah, this fan creator, they're okay to come, but the rest, no, not allowed. It's just, it leaves a bitter taste because I've seen some of the articles made in the fanzine before, and it's actually been quite good stuff. They do put a lot of work in it, but now that's just going to be completely overshadowed by this one piece. And the fact it was written anonymously as well, but they happily went on to Twitter, tagged Sam North in it. I don't know if they deliberately went down the line of there's no such thing as bad press. I mean, look at controversial stars through the years. They've went down that route. But I'm not gonna lie, it leaves a sour taste in my tongue because I look at it more from a media perspective than a fan of these are just guys that are trying to get their name out there, make a career for themselves. Obviously, Gogsy has one of her own as well. You'd think you'd want to be celebrating that rather than try to push them out. So even just saying we don't want that in a stand because of like our work with the banners and that, fair enough. But to be so harsh about it just seems kind of unfair. Because if you're that angry about someone just trying to chase their profession, there's other things you can do. You don't have to make a public article like that. You don't have to tag specific people. You don't have to name drop specific people either. That's where I think it's crossed the line. And if they'd went about it more professionally, it could have created a healthy debate. They could have maybe even got their opinions on it. They might have asked like some like Aaron Fraser, the Harsh Boy does it, like could have asked Gogs. He could have even asked Sam North himself, or that Blair McNally guy does it all. They could have did that and made it more open instead of it coming across as a no, this is it, end of, how dare they, they're this, they're that. Because that's just unprofessional. You wouldn't get that in a normal paper from a journalist.
Robbie, if you want to come in as well.
Yeah, just picking up on it over the weekend, what I thought was really hypocritical is the pinned tweet from the people calling out Sam North was all about men's mental health and saying about speak up if this and that and you need a helping hand. But yet they're personally rectifying a guy who, in my eyes, does a lot more than a lot of Scottish football broadcasters that. In terms of shining a light on Scottish football. So, yeah, I agree in some sense of people don't want to be filmed and that side of things, but it just seemed very hypocritical. And you could tell it went down so bad when there's only about 100 likes and about 1,000 quote tweets. That's when you want to get the popcorn out. And I think over the last year, we've seen that change the sphere of Scottish football YouTubers, and I think it's something we should embrace if professional journalists, clubs, and YouTubers can work together rather than like in conflict to each other. And I think we just need to be more open about speaking up about it between clubs and, as Jenna says, like Gogsy and people like that. There's a place for everyone rather than just like, oh no, we don't want these at all.
You're absolutely right, Robbie, to be honest, because a lot of it as well, like, what got me with it though was the hypocrisy, as you were saying, like, their pinned tweets all about mental health. Like, I don't know how closely you've probably followed some of the different banners that they've did, some of the different great work they've did about men's mental health, especially for Chrissy's House, which is quite a very common place for both men and women go for mental health help in Lanarkshire. It's been a lifeline for a lot of people around here. I know far too many people have had to go there because things haven't been great. And it's through things such as Motherwell, all the different stuff there, not even just like that corner of our park, like just the club in general promoting it. And it's great. It's getting the word out there. But it does make you wonder how much of this now is this is how we genuinely feel. We want everyone to feel comfortable. And how much of it is just we want this because it's what the club wants. It's not what we want, if you get where I'm coming from. Like, there's a perfect chance to create a healthy debate, but it's just went down horribly. And the fact they didn't even like issue an apology, they just doubled down on it, seen what the backlash was like. If anything, I think they've shot themselves in the foot because the pinned tweet is that one about the mental health. And I'm pretty sure that was it did quite well. I know it's a couple of years old now, but it got quite a lot of positive reactions. It had quite a lot of likes, had quite a lot of retweets. People celebrate Mullow for the work they do with that.
That's the first thing, one of the first things to think of. Like, they're really good on lots of stuff in the community generally, but like suicide, particularly male suicide, they've been really positive on. I think that's a really big thing. And yeah, it all seems a bit odd.
It sounds quite a lot of it because what if, like, hopefully obviously this never happens, but it does raise the question, if you start tagging people like that in a post that you are hoping gets a lot of negative comments about this person under it. I mean, Erin, you saw it yourself the past couple of weeks with some of the abuse you were getting on social media for going on Open Goal. Like, that can really affect someone's well-being. Luckily, Sam seems to have taken it in his stride. We don't know what's happening behind closed doors, obviously. But it just begs the question, is like, how do you promote mental health and well-being but take that approach to it? It just does come across really badly. And I'd hate for it to look bad in the club as well, because can't stress this enough. The fanzine is completely separate from Mullow. It's separate from Mullow's media team. It's separate from the programme team. It's completely different. And I can't stress that enough, because I was previously involved with the programmes at Mullow. And I'd hate it if the club was automatically aligned with that fanzine because of the backlash it's had, because it's not what the club represents, is personal attacks like that, and that's what it was, let's be honest.
But the thing is, for football clubs and the broadcasters, because the broadcasters have actually got a big say in this, it has to be more black and white, because that's part of the problem. Part of the problem is for this content is actually you shouldn't be filming in the stadium. You know, be part of your T's and C's when you buy a ticket is that you don't produce certain content that you then put on social media. But then if you give accreditation to people like Sam and everybody else who's done well out of showing Scottish football a good light, then it becomes a bit more of a non-issue, because you've then got permission from the state biggest stakeholder, which is the football club, and you've got permission from the broadcaster, who again pays the rights to then have the filming in the stadiums. But too many clubs in Scotland, and nobody's filmed Scottish football longer than me, obviously, in terms of independently, and I have to seek permission every single time I go into a football stadium. Whatever league it is, I go in and I say, listen, this is what I want to do. Is that okay? The lower leagues are much better at getting back to you, and they've got less broadcasting constraints, so they will agree to it quickly. But, you know, I've dealt with teams like Motherwell in the past, and they are very slow, if not just never coming back to you at all. And that's part of the problem, because you're then putting that person where they have to. And if I've got advice for anybody who's filming, it is that you have to be wary of your surroundings. You have to ask people before you film. And if it's not, if you're getting a bad kind of vibe from it, don't film, because that's going to lead to problems for you. Whether or not you believe that should be the case or not, again, your T's and C's, your ticket, if that's what you're basing it on, tell you you should not be filming anyway. So I think football clubs, the SPFL and Sky Sports, probably the biggest ones, could come out and make this a whole lot easier by saying, right, okay, we'll give accreditation. I'm fed up with the SPFL and all its members being so slow in the uptake that they think that, oh, vloggers, this, that, and the next thing. You're like, well, it's a new way of doing media. So like, look at their work. If you like their work, give them accreditation and let them do it in a safer spot. If they can, rather than just they buy a ticket and then they sit in the wrong seat and then suddenly it becomes a bit of an issue.
Especially if you're trying to film in grounds such as Ibrox or Celtic Park, where there is such a high demand for tickets and not enough seats, they can get away with it more with likes of Mull, and that is much, I hate to say it, we're not going to sell out the home end at Fir Park anytime soon. So they can get away with it easier with that, without supposedly doing fans out of the rightful seats and everything. It's that way though, like the privacy thing I agree with. Like if I was aware that someone was filming the game, stuff like that, I'd be careful what I was saying. I'd be a bit cautious of celebrating stuff like that, just in case I was caught on camera, because you never know what people do with things. You just don't know. But at the same time though, like as you're saying, just ask permission. If the club won't tell you yes or no, just have a kind word to the people around about you. Look, this is what I'm doing. This is why I'm doing it. If you're featured in the background, I can only apologise. Like, I hope this is okay. If you've got any concerns, please speak to me anytime and we'll work with you. Like, something as simple as that would probably put a lot of people at ease about it. But I think because there is this reputation that the vloggers are trying to get into games for their own personal gain, and there seems to be this, like, opinion, not even just from the fans, and just in general from reading different tweets on the fallout of that post, where people think it's all an ego-boosting thing. Don't know if that comes from the vlog then, going to the World Cup and everything involved with that, because that's the one name that always gets brought up with accusations like that. I've never met the guy. I don't watch his stuff. I'm not going to say it's right or wrong. I just don't know the answer to that one, right? But it's just that way. It's like, even if someone is doing the vlogging thing mostly to boost their ego or whatever, you know what? That's their choice. We will never know, so we can't accuse anyone of doing that.
Graham, you were at the comment as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I just think Scottish football gets a kick in, and not all the time from Scottish folk. A lot of people outside Scottish football think it's a tin pot league. And guys like Sam North, and you've got a guy called Aaron Fraser at Hearts who do nothing but talk up Scottish football. They love the game. I've watched a lot of stuff that Sam and Aaron have done. And all they do is talk up the Scottish game. They try and kind of give it a boost. And I love that kind of thing. I don't see a problem with what they do. They're not doing it for their own game. They're doing it to try and raise the profile of Scottish football, which I love. And I think as well, you know, Scott's rant when he came on earlier on about Erin and that was bang on the money. You know, I only know Erin from doing like this podcast. And I've done a few podcasts with Jenna as well. And they offer so much. These podcasts, they give so much detail, so much insight, they're passionate about the game. We all are. We love Scottish football. You know, I, for a long time, wasn't that confident, but seeing doing shows like this, I get more confidence to do like Twitter spaces and do live shows because I love Scottish football. I love watching Hearts. I love talking about Scottish football. That's all these guys are trying to do. They're trying to boost Scottish football. Sam North, some of the videos I've watched, he's very, very good. He tries his best to talk up Scottish football. And I think some of the abuse that he's got is just, it's ridiculous. We need guys like that. We need people like that to talk up the game. Because like I say, it does get a bit of a kick in. And these guys are trying to do their best to talk it up. It's not about ego. It's not about trying to boost their, you know, their followers. It's about trying to talk up the game. And we need that.
You know what I think it is as well is I've noticed this through my own career progression. I've seen it as well. It seems to be a Scottish thing, where a lot of people They love to root for an underdog. They love to root for Scottish people doing well until it's someone that they know. And then it becomes the issue of, well, who do they think they are? They're this, they're that. How dare they try to be different? Because when it's a stranger, you can be like, fair enough, that's quite good. They're doing well. But it seems to be as soon as someone that you know or someone that's recognisable to you, that's where the negativity starts, which is a shame because I've seen it from like my own career progression, people I know is like, and it's so sad because it's that way. It makes you wonder, why is it that this happens? Like, is this maybe a self-deprecation thing? Like, there's probably a bigger conversation for this. It could probably be a full podcast in itself. But it is a shame, like the likes of Sam and like some of the other like people who spoke about in the show, like I've got nothing but respect for them because I couldn't go in front of the camera and film myself at games. I know I couldn't. I tried it once and it wasn't for me at all. It felt quite stiff. I just didn't feel natural for me. But I was big enough and was like, it's not for me. But the fact they can go and do that and they enjoy it. Like, see the people that don't like the video just because they don't like that type of content. That's fair enough. Just don't watch it. Lock them into it. Like, you don't have to engage in it. And as well as that, you don't have to engage and be hateful. If half the people that were given in the horrendous abuse on like Twitter and usual comments, whatever, see if they just went, I wasn't a fan of this, I didn't like her opinions, I didn't agree, I'm just not going to watch the rest of the video. No one would have an issue because they've kept that to themselves, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to like preach hate just because you disagree with something.
I think as well, there is a big thing with Scottish football, yeah, where they're like, oh, it's so embarrassing. Rangers and Celtic, really, we do so badly in Europe because there's no competition here. No one's got any like excitement. No one's got any ambition for their team. People should start saying their team could do well. People should support their team. And then as soon as you do it, it's, oh, not you. Sorry,
That's
no. Not,
exactly.
no, we didn't mean you. Thank you. I also do think there's a thing about women where, heaven forbid,
Absolutely.
you also imagine, see if you put some lipstick on, you must not know anything about football. I mean,
I've
maybe
heard
in
that
that like
once
4 seconds, am I meant to be learning something? I don't really understand it. It's bizarre.
even with a
There's
YouTube thing, is there not like this perception though as well that it's people are supposed to enjoy football in a certain way and cause they're enjoying it in a different way? That's wrong. Football still has that tradition of it's a alpha male thing. So whether it's females that are getting targeted or people that are giving exposure to the game in a different way to what they think or enjoying it a different way, is that the problem?
I think it is personally, because I did studies into it for like different assessments when I was training to get my HND in journalism and things like that about the female experience in sports compared to males. And the study I did, I just asked some open-ended questions, put it on like Twitter, Instagram, everything. I was like, here's this anonymous survey, fill out the best you can, or if you'd be willing to go on the record and provide in-depth quotes, you can. Some of the people I spoke to, lovely girls, all over Scotland, supported all different teams. They were victims from teams with, it was all over the place. It wasn't just like, oh, that's one club's fans did this. It's always that it was completely varied. As one of the girls was like, she was arguing with everyone on Twitter about a football result or something like that. Now, she was like a teenager at the time. I can't remember exact age. She was like late teens, like between 18 like 20, I think, roughly. The woman she was disagreeing with was in her 30s, right? So very much her senior. And she was calling her all the names under the sun, like making fun of her looks. And it's bad enough you get that from guys when you're arguing football. Everyone experienced it. I've experienced it myself. But see when it's like infighting as well like that, it's like, oh, if we can't even be nice to each other, what chance have we got for the guys trying to take us seriously as well? Because when it gets petty like that, it just ruins things. Like, we've been seeing different opinions on here tonight. We've not all agreed, we've had fun with it, and that's the way it should be. But it
See that,
can be that way, things just get completely derailed.
and that's the thing I find ridiculous. It's like, I'm not saying don't have debates with Erin. I have debates with Erin all the time, but it's logistical where we put our points across. You know what I mean, I'll never ever get over the way Erin eats a pizza. It will never ever shock. It will always shock me how Erin eats
Doesn't
a
think I know
pizza.
that Rangers are going to the Europa League group stages. He's still unsure that
But
this isn't
that's
right.
but the fact of the matter is, I don't know if I have a debate with Erin on football that she knows what she's talking about. I know what I'm talking about. We're just having a disagreement on what it is. It's the,
and
it's,
you wouldn't
so
make it personal either. Like, you wouldn't be like, you're this, you're that, you're this name.
Exactly. It's certainly, wow. But it certainly doesn't come down to gender. It baffles my mind that men still have that that thought that a woman doesn't know anything about football because she's a woman. And I'm like, well, how can you understand that? Because I remember talking to Erin when we did the walking tour, and I asked her, you know, how did she get into football? Because she went to football with her dad. That's the exact same as probably most men.
Also, it was really cute on Saturday. I went just after we scored. It was perfect timing. I was like, right, I'm going to go get a juice and check out the pie situation, because they had a macaroni and black pudding, but they weren't ready, so it was a bit annoying. But this guy that was must have been like 40s maybe, had his wee girl, and she's probably like 4 or 5, and she wanted to go to the toilet, but she was so nervous to go in, and he was like, I'm not, he said, would you mind going in with her? And I was like, yeah, fine. She was like, she was so cute. She also, like, I think she found it a bit loud. She had a little way top on. I was like, I like your top. She went, thank you. And I was like, oh. And then to her dad, and he was like, oh, thanks so much. I was like, oh, don't be silly, it's fine. I said, I used to come with my dad when I was like that, and I'm still here with my dad today. And he thought that was really nice. I said, you keep coming, because I said, it's not always great, but sometimes it's really good.
But that's,
and that's really a nice perfect, like, story to end on the podcast.
But, best thing.
But that's how it all should be. It's like, that's how we all get into football. Somebody in our family usually takes us to the football, doesn't matter who it is and who we are, and we enjoy it. We have a great time talking about it.
So, like, I go to every home game with my dad, and we've started taking younger members of the family with us, and we've got our own pre-match tradition. Like, before every single home game, he'll sit and take a picture together. It's the most daftest, funniest face ever he can pull. I'm trying to look semi-normal in it. He likes to have a good laugh with it. And it's just so nice. And, like, he took me to my first game. He's still there all these years later. Now, fair enough, sometimes my friends will sit with us and whatever, and that's fine. But I'll always choose to go to the game with my dad, because that's how I got into football. Like, sitting with him at the games is my favourite thing to do.
I love it, especially like, because I live in Edinburgh now. When I go, like, it was sometimes I just go up for the day, like a 3 o'clock kickoff. You can get the train at 10:30, and then I'll get the train back at like 7. And I'm like, I'll be so excited, and I'll be getting like on the train, and I'll phone my dad. I'll go, we're on time, and I'll meet him, and we'll go for a drink before, and we don't tell my mum about how many. And then the team will come out, and we'll have a little chat about it, and then have a drink, have lovely. And then he goes off home, and I go back, and it's great. And then I'll phone him after I watch sports, see him, I'll have a chat about that. And my mother will say, I'll hear her in the background. She's like, oh, not that bloody football again. My mum's not interested. But, yeah, it's great.
It's a nice
funny as well, because now, like, there's been so many games on. My mum's like, it's not on again, is it? I was like, it's on again. So good. Like, and, like, something will happen. I'll text my dad. He loves to say now he's on Twitter. Saw that on the Twitter earlier. Like, what did you agree? Saw on the Twitter. So, it's just fun. Like, it's great. And, like, the other day, I feel like, let people in, like, if someone's enjoying something, is it like, and it's not bothering you, why are you bothered about it? Like, have you got that much time? Quite busy, personally. I was gonna say, are you not busy at your work? But I suspect maybe a few of them don't have a work to go to. But it's just absolutely mad. And it's all like fake profiles and stuff, and like people who guaranteed their wives, their daughters, their mothers, they'd be absolutely disgusted. But because it's a fake profile, they think they can just say what they like on the internet.
It's only enjoyment they've probably got in their life anyway. That's the problem. These people think they can hide behind a fake account or a computer screen, and then they'll get that enjoyment out of other slagging other people, which is not right at all. And
that's the thing, though. That's the thing, though, as Erin said there, probably some of these guys are like lawyers or like high up in jobs and stuff, and they're slagging off folk that they've got no clue about. It's stupid.
We ended any positivity, get back to the positivity. I like the wee story. I thought that was a perfect way to end, and then we get back to...
We've all got the cup to look forward to, the magic of the cup.
Oh, we're not talking about the cup now. We've gone way over time. Not happening.
Getting us back to an excited thing. We've all got the magic of the cup to look forward to.
I mean, to end it, right? That's what doesn't end it with the magic of the cup.
Yeah, happy football.
Happy football. Right, Graham, good to have you back on, as always.
Cheers, mate. Good to be on.
Scott, Erin, good to have you on.
Good to be back.
Thank you.
Robbie, good to have you on as your first regular appearance.
Hello, pleasure. Look forward to being back on, being sharp as a tack, hopefully.
Aye, decent. And Jenna, wonderful debut appearance. And I think it's safe to say, I think you won the headline of the week.
Thank you, I do try.
Right, cheers everyone and happy football.
Cheers, John. Cheers, everyone.
Thank you.